This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone. And welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The election for the U.S. presidency is still some time away, but the political campaigns have already begun. The question is, my friends, how should we as true Christians react to this? Now, those of you who know our programs understand that we are not getting involved and are not engaging ourselves in the political process. We are not going to vote in governmental elections. We most certainly are not going to participate in them. Because we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of God, for a better world to come when God will rule this earth. At the same time, what should the approach of a true Christian be? Should we just put our heads in the sand, pretending that nothing evil, nothing wrong is going on? Or are we to watch? And what then is the result of our watching events which are taking place in the United States of America and around the world? But first, I'd like to give you a few excerpts, a few examples of comments made by candidates for the presidency, present and future ones, not because we are endorsing any candidate or we are specifically rejecting that particular candidate, just to give you a flavor of what is going on. Because here's an article by Bloomberg News dated April 19, quoting Republican presidential candidate Marco Rubio, saying he does not believe sexual orientation is a choice for the enormous majority of people. He added, in fact, the bottom line is, I believe that sexual preference is something people are born with. He also said that he would attend a same-sex wedding. Now, Texas Senator Ted Cruz said he has never had to make such a decision, dodging the question. Ohio Governor John Kasich, another possible candidate, said he and his wife had been invited to a same-sex wedding and planned to attend. Now, what should the reaction of a true Christian be when hearing this? Here's an article by eonline.com, dated April 15, about U.S. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Just a few days ago, after officially announcing she will run for president in the 2016 elections, Clinton has addressed one of the most hotly debated topics in politics, marriage equality. In her first remarks about same-sex marriage in nearly a year, a spokesman for Clinton's campaign says Clinton hopes the Supreme Court will embrace marriage equality when it considers cases out of four states on April 28. And it says that Hillary Clinton supports marriage equality, in other words, same-sex marriages. Again, what is the position of a true Christian in light of the Bible? What should it be? Now, here's an article by Newsmax, dated April 18, regarding former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. He said that the Obama administration had an open hostility towards the Christian faith, urging prospective military recruits to enlist after President Barack Obama leaves the White House. He continues, there is nothing more honorable than serving one's country, and there is no greater heroes in our country than our military, he said. But then he urged to wait until there is a new president. Is that in agreement with what the Bible says about military service and war? You see, my friends, this brings me to another topic, the topic of the Holocaust. The EU Observer wrote on April 21 that historians estimate that during the Second World War, 6 million Jews have been killed. In 1944 to 1945, Hungary briefly had an anti-Semitic government which killed thousands of Jews. Many of Europe's nations struggled after the war with the question how the genocide could have been allowed. Anti-Semitism was widespread in Europe, and according to historian Mark Mazower, governments that were approached for support for the so-called final solution tended to be particularly cooperative in handing over Jewish refugees and other non-nationals. However, approval of this final solution was not a common phenomenon. In response to the horrors of occupation, most people living under Nazi control had retreated in a private world and tried to ignore everything that did not directly concern them. Is that the right response of a true Christian? You see, surely, as I will show you, a true Christian must not participate in violence, must not participate in war for any reason, shape or form. But what does the reaction have to be? First of all, what is to be said about same-sex marriages, homosexuality, the concept that we as Christians can attend same-sex weddings? Is that something the Bible would endorse? Now, there's an interesting passage in the book of Psalms where David has this to say in Psalm 119 and verse 136. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. He was deeply disturbed about the fact that there was so much violence, so much transgression of God's law in his day and age. What about today? Here's a prophecy in the book of Ezekiel in the 9th chapter about something which is going to happen when God will intervene, when God will finally start punishing those who are violating his law. In chapter 9 and verse 4, it says, "The Lord said to him," and he's talking here to an angel, and Ezekiel sees that in a vision, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem." But Jerusalem is used here as a representative for many of those cities which we are now hearing about. "And put a mark or a sign on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." Are we those who are sighing and crying about all the abominations which are done in our nation, in our nations? Do we even know how the Bible defines abomination? He goes on to say to the others, he said in my hearing, "Go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary." And so they began with the elders who were before the temple. You see, even ministers in the churches are not going to be spared when they are endorsing conduct, maybe engaging even in conduct, which is not in accordance with God and his word. You know, you might say that's just the Old Testament, but notice a passage in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. It says, "God didn't spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly," verse 5, "and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly." We all know what Sodom and Gomorrah were doing. Verse 7, "And he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." Are you tormenting your righteous soul day to day by watching, by observing, by hearing wrong concepts, wrong statements, wrong ideas? Verse 9, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." Going back to the comments by Mr. Rubio and others about same-sex marriages, about homosexual relationships, what does the Bible say about it? Are we sighing and crying about the things which Mr. Rubio seems to endorse? Leviticus chapter 18 tells us in verse 22, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." It goes on to say in verse 24, "Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled. Therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants." The Bible prophesies that a war is going to be launched against the United States of America soon, and America will be defeated, and slavery will be brought about, and many captives will be taken out of the land. It goes on to say in verse 26, "And you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done, who were before you, and thus the land is defiled. Lest the land vomit you out also, when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. Verse 29, for whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore you shall keep my ordinance, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God. My friends, this shows very clearly that homosexuals are not born as homosexuals. It is not a matter of choice. In other words, it is a matter of choice. I should take that back. See, people say it's not a matter of choice. They are born that way. No, they are choosing. They are choosing to become that way. And the Bible says a true Christian and a practicing homosexual cannot go hand in hand. It's an inconsistency. And we as true Christians must understand this. Now, this doesn't mean that a practicing homosexual cannot change, because the Bible in the New Testament tells us that some have changed and have come into the church, have been washed clean, have been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. But they have to understand that they are not born that way. They have made a choice, a conscious choice, and they have to reverse that process, because the Bible clearly calls it an abomination, and those who commit it and do not repent of it and continue practicing it will not inherit the kingdom of God. What about going to war? Now, I have said a lot about going to war. See, that's where Mr. Huckabee is awfully wrong in his assessment. And he, a minister or a former minister, is saying those things. The Bible says something altogether different. Let me just quote from our free booklet, Should You Fight in War? And we have a section in there on the way of war and the way of peace. Just giving you a few scriptures. And you can't argue those and say, oh, they have no meaning for us. If you want to be a true Christian, they should have a lot of meaning for you. And you should sigh and cry about the abomination of our nations going to war. Are you? Are you sighing and crying when you hear these kind of things happening on an almost like daily basis? Matthew 26 and verse 52, Christ says to Peter, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 10, he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. The context is warfare when you look at the scripture. In James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, James tells us why we are going to war, why we are fighting. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder. War is identified as murder in the Bible. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. And what does it say in Romans chapter 3 and verse 15 and verse 17? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Oh yes, we are so swift to go to war. The way of peace they have not known, and we haven't known it. And we have been fighting for almost like 6,000 years and never have brought about peace. Only Jesus Christ, when he returns, will bring about peace to this world, And that is why we as true Christians are not fighting in war, are not endorsing war, are not recommending war. We are waiting for Christ to put an end to war. Notice what it says in Psalm 46 and in verse 9. He makes wars cease to end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth. Also we read in Psalm 68 and in verse 30, scatter the peoples who delight in war. But here's a key scripture telling us what is going to happen when Christ has returned, when he's starting to teach the people how they should live. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Today people are learning how to fight in war. That will not happen again when Christ returns. And Christ will not participate in any political campaigns either. Sometime back when Mr. Huckabee was running for presidency, there was a big debate, and he was asked the question, all the candidates were, what would Jesus Christ do if he were standing here with you? And Huckabee answered and said, he wouldn't even be involved in it. He was absolutely right. I asked the question, why was he involved? Why are all these candidates claimed to be Christians are involved in something which Christ wouldn't endorse, which Christ doesn't endorse, which you shouldn't endorse? Are you, as a true Christian, sighing and crying over the abominations which are happening in your nation? And I've only given you a few. There are a lot more abominations. Everything which is in violation to God's law is an abomination. Whether it's fornication, whether it's adultery, whether it's all the things listed in the Ten Commandments and the statutes and the judgments defining the Ten Commandments even more. Are you sighing and crying? Are you weeping? Are you shedding tears when you see how the people are violating God's law? Or are you indifferent? Are you saying, oh, it doesn't matter, they can live the way they want? Well, we are not condemning the people, but we are condemning wrong conduct. And we must understand that we are to pray to God that we are counted worthy to escape all these terrible things which are going to come to pass, and to worthily stand in front of the Son of Man when he returns. That is your challenge. That is my challenge. That is something we all must learn to do. So please keep watching our programs, because we will not shy away from saying the things the way they are, even if everybody else does. We have to obey God rather than man. And we have to lift up our voice like a trumpet and show God's people and the nations our transgressions and our sins. And the Bible defines sin as a transgression of God's law, which is still in force and effect today. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.